I will open the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Monday, March 5th. Colleagues, we have a number of items on the agenda. This has been booked as the final meeting of the full Ways and Means Committee for this session. Let's hope that is the case. The first item on the agenda is to open a work session on the Department of State lands, federal grant. Briefing, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Susie Jordan with the Legislative Fiscal Office. The Department of State lands requests that the Joint Committee on Ways and Means approve retroactively the submission of a federal grant application by the State Lands Department to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency in the amount of $178,000 for a wetland program development grant to refine and improve the Oregon Rapid Wetland Assessment Protocol. The Oregon Rapid Wetland Assessment Protocol was developed by the Department of State Lands to provide a single method for assessing the functions and values of wetlands throughout the state for removal, fill, law, permitting. State Lands intends to use the grant funding to make user-identified improvements to the protocol, add functionality that allows for the replacement of the outdated and inadequate Oregon freshwater wetland assessment methodology used by local governments for wetlands planning since 1993, and to collect statistically valid samples of wetlands throughout the state to provide a stronger scientific basis for a number of the program's functions. The program requires a non-federal funds match of 25% of the total project cost, but allows for existing agency expenditures to be counted in lieu of the required matching funds, and therefore no additional state funding is required. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends approving the submission of a federal grant to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and an increase in the federal funds expenditure limitation of $178,000 be included in the budget reconciliation bill.
Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move the federal grant application from DSL as per the LFO recommendation.
Okay. Any discussion of the motion on the floor? Any objections to the motion on the floor? Yes, Senator Virgil.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to get on the record that the Department of State Lands intends to use this to improve over an inadequate assessment methodology, and that because they feel that local governments need to have a fairer playing field, and that this will provide a stronger scientific basis for the program's functions, and on that basis, I will vote for the grant.
That is correct.
Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion before us? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. Open work session on SB 1582. Can we get an LFO briefing?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Susie Jordan with the Legislative Fiscal Office. Senate Bill 1582 establishes a process for a person to request an independent review of a determination made by the Department of State Lands that wetlands are present on a land parcel owned by that person. The independent review must be conducted by a panel of three individuals experienced in wetland identification and delineation. One reviewer will be selected by the department, one by the requester, and the third will be selected by the other two reviewers. The cost of the review would be shared equally between the department and the requester. Costs to the department are estimated to range from $55,800 to $83,520 general fund, depending on the hourly rate and number of hours to complete the review. The number of reviews that will be initiated is unknown. If a request is made, the department can request reimbursement of costs from the emergency board or legislature. The Dash A5 amendment changes the expiration of the delineation determination from 10 years to 5 years and directs the landowner to conduct a review of the land parcel 5 years after determination has been made. If baseline conditions have changed, it requires the landowner to submit a new wetland delineation report, and if baseline conditions have not changed, then the final determination of the department may be extended for 5 years. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that Senate Bill 1582 be amended by the Dash A5 and be reported out due pass as amended.
Okay. Do we have a motion on the Dash 5?
Mr. Kutcher, I move the Dash 5 amendments to the bill.
Okay. The Dash 5 amendments have been moved. Is there any discussion on the Dash 5 amendments? Seeing none, are there any objections to the Dash 5 amendments? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 1582A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senate Bill 1582 as amended has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. Close that work session. For this particular bill on the Senate, Senator Morse will carry. In the House?
Representative Greg Smith for the House.
Okay. Open a work session, SB 1581A, LFO briefing.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 1581 comes to you from the Senate Committee on Education and Workforce Development. It requires public education entities to enter into achievement compacts with the Oregon Education Investment Board and further identifies education positions that directly report the Chief Education Officer. Before you are the Dash A24 amendments. Those amendments remove the board's authority to waive implementation of the statewide assessment in favor of an alternative assessment system and requires the Oregon Education Investment Board to provide estimated level of funding for each fiscal year to these schools. It also resolves conflicts with House Bill 4165. Legislative Fiscal Office recommends Senate Bill 1581 be amended by the A24 amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Do we have a motion on the Dash A24 amendments?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash A24 amendments to the bill.
Okay. Dash A24 has been moved. Any discussion of the Dash A24 amendments? Seeing none. Any objections to the Dash A24 amendments? Seeing none, motion carries. Main motion?
Mr. Chair, I move SB 1581A as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Any discussion on the motion before the committee? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Please note Representative Nolan. And seeing no others, motion carries.
And can I recommend Representative Clomp if she's willing
Thank
to
you.
Carry
mm-hmm.
this bill?
Okay, and because I will have Representatives Hass and Monroe.
About senators?
Oh, Senators Hass and Monroe. Oh. I know I tried to elevate them, but Senators Hass and Monroe. Okay. Close that work session. Okay, we will open a work session. We are now to the true budget bills. On House Bill 5201, LFO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Darren Hill, Legislative Fiscal Office. House Bill 5201 adjusts the limits on the maximum amount of bonds and third-party financing agreements that state agencies may issue and the amount of revenue state agencies may raise from such an issuance. The proceeds from the issuance of bonds are included as revenues in agencies' budgets. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends an additional $13.96 million in Article 11Q bonds to further development of the Judicial Department's e-court system and $2.5 million in additional financing agreement capacity for capital leases. LFO also recommends an additional $81.9 million in Article 11F bond issuance authority for the Oregon University System projects contained in House Bill 5202. Lottery bond authority is recommended to be increased by $10.6 million to provide funding for community college capital projects that are also included in House Bill 5202. The additional lottery revenue bonds will not be issued if the state treasurer, after considering a 2013 report from the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission, determines that lottery-backed debt capacity is not sufficient to support the issuance of the bonds. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends House Bill 5201 be amended with the Dash 3 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Do we have a motion on the Dash 3?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to the bill.
The Dash 3 amendments have been moved. Any discussion on the Dash 3 amendments? Any objection to the Dash 3 amendments? Seeing none, motion carries. Do we have a main motion?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5201 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. House Bill 5201 as amended has motion to move it to the floor with due pass. Any discussion?
Yes.
Yes. Representative Nolan, and then Senator Monroe and Senator Nelson.
Mr. Co-Chair, there are some good and important things in this bill, and I'll support the bill. But I think it's important for us to note what's not in this bill. In particular, the Oregon Sustainability Center was previously authorized for support from this legislature, But we asked the project and its sponsors to answer a lot of questions, and legitimate questions. But the project sponsors, the project proponents, people from all over the state answered those questions, and yet the project's not in this list of approved projects. We're leaving 780 jobs on the table and nearly $8 million worth of research funding for one of our premier institutions of higher education. I think that's unfortunate. And I hope at some point this legislature or the project sponsors will find a way to move that project forward.
Senator Morrell, then Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I'm pleased that the community college capital is in here at 10.6. That's a new number to me. The number I had been given was 9.6. I'm real happy for the extra million, but can somebody explain to me how it grew from 9.6 to 10.6?
Darren, can you do that?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Monroe, with all lottery bonds, you have to have issuance costs included in there, and then there's a reserve that they use to basically help insure the bonds. And so that's the addition. It is 9.6 of net proceeds. That additional million is just for cost reasons and those reserves.
Thank you for the explanation.
Senator Nelson.
Yes, on the community college bonds also, as I recall the project, some of the projects are ready to go. Are they going to have to wait now until February of 2013 before they proceed with these?
Mr. Hill, do you want to respond?
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, yes, that's the case. They will have to wait till next spring to issue the bonds, so they'll have to wait for that, those bonds before they go forward. Thanks.
Okay. Any additional discussion on the main motion? Any objection to the main motion? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator Nelson to the Senate floor.
And Representative Garrard, please.
And Garrard. To the House floor. Okay, close that work session. And open a work session on House Bill 5202.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Paul Siebert, Legislative Fiscal Office. House Bill 5202 is the budget bill for capital construction projects. House Bill 5202 establishes authority for the planning, design, and construction of capital projects. Each project must be authorized by the legislature. Some of the projects are funded with bond proceeds provided in House Bill 5201, which you just approved. The bill with the recommended adjustment includes expenditure limitation for three student-funded projects at Oregon State University, increased expenditure authority for a laboratory project at Western Oregon University, increased expenditure authority for a veterans home in Lebanon, and expenditure limitation to remodel the DMV offices in Bend. Projects approved in the bill will expire on June 30th, 2017. The Dash 4 amendment also includes $9.6 million of expenditure limitation for 17 projects at community colleges that would be funded through issuance of lottery bonds. And as you just heard, under the provisions contained in 5201, the bonds for these projects cannot be issued if the state treasurer, after considering a report from the State Debt Policy Advisory Committee on lottery-backed debt capacity, determines the lottery-backed debt capacity is not sufficient to support the issuance of the bonds. The State Debt Policy Advisory Committee Commission report is to be received no later than February 1st, 2013. Legislative Fiscal Office recommends House Bill 5202 be amended by the Dash 4 Amendment and be reported out due pass as amended.
Do we have a motion on the Dash 4 Amendments?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 4 Amendments to the bill.
Okay. Dash 4 Amendments have been moved. Any discussion? Any objection to the amendment?
I have a question on the bill, not the amendment.
Oh, on the main bill.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, I'll wait then. No objections to the amendment?
Oh.
Motion carries. Can I get the main motion?
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 5202 as amended to the floor with due pass recommendation.
Okay. 5202 as amended has been moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Durant.
I have a question, and that question is, if the treasurer deems that he does not have the capacity, can he go through and pick individual projects, or does he have to say that all these projects go on the chopping block?
Mr. Chair, Senator Girard, that is a good question. I believe it just says that the provisions, these projects cannot be issued if the state treasurer, after considering a report, says there's not debt capacity for the projects. I think that at the time, the legislature would be in session. He would be well advised to come talk to this body before approving any projects if there's some difference between the capacity and how much money it would be spent.
Yes.
I'm going to vote for this, but it does give me a little bit of angst that it seems like we possibly have given him the discretion to pick and choose the projects, and I don't think the treasurer needs to be doing that.
Senator Gerard, my interpretation of what he said is that the treasurer would put his, well, he would be at risk given that the legislature was in session. If he was to say that we could only issue a smaller amount, you would almost, I hate to make a presumption, but you would almost assume he would come to the legislature and ask them what their advice was.
I think it should be all or nothing.
Yes.
That's my interpretation.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. My understanding of the approval of this was that this is a bundling of the amount of bonds. We either issue all of the bonds or we don't issue any of the bonds unless the legislature were to speak and say that we were going to go for a smaller amount. So I don't think this should ever come up because what we're asking for is a total package.
Okay. That is the intent.
Okay. And then I had Representative Gerard and Senator Nelson.
Very sharp.
Please go.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a note to, for the committee and to put into the record that the Klamath Community College project is mislabeled in the committee report, but remains accurate in the bill. And that is that the funding should be toward building number one at Klamath Community College and not building number two.
Looks like they're clarifying that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you. When you talk about debt capacity is not sufficient, what are the standards for sufficiency?
Would you like to respond or would you like me to? For the debt in terms of lottery debt, we use a 4-to-1 ratio, meaning that our debt cannot exceed more than 1/4 of our total anticipated lottery net proceeds.
So if it's $1 billion, it's $250 million, and if it's $500 million, it's $125 million.
Would you like to elaborate a little bit?
Mr. Chair, I believe that's correct. And also in response to the earlier question from Senator Gerard, just to point out that the legislature has authorized a bundling of bonds, a certain amount. And there's no identification of how much of that authorization is for any individual project. So there's really no way to, let's say, untweeze part of it. At least that's our interpretation.
Representative Nathanson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Not quite sure whether it's most appropriate to make this comment under the previous bill, this bill, or the next one. There's a project that I had been hoping to see on the final lists, and I don't see it, so I just wanted to make a short statement about an innovative public transit project in the Lane area, from Lane Transit District. It's something that's important to medium-sized cities when we're trying to fund public transportation. That's something short of a light rail system, which is very expensive. It's not a bus and it's not light rail. It's in between the two, and it's what we need to be doing. A few years ago, Lane Transit District backed off of a request for a lot more money with a plan in mind that they had come to the legislature with of funding over a period of years or a period of biennia. And it's too bad that we aren't able to help them continue this project when we had sort of backed off a few years ago from a fuller amount of funding. Nevertheless, I'm very pleased with the projects that we do see in this list, and I am happy to support this particular bill.
Any additional discussion? Any objections to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. And in this particular case, Senator Nelson, again, will you take on the Senate side and on the House side?
Representative Beyer, please.
Beyer.
Representative Beyer.
Close that work session. Now we are to the core budget bills. Open a work session on SB 5702. Please proceed.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'm Steve Bender with the Legislative Fiscal Office. Senate Bill 5702 is your lottery allocation bill. The bill adjusts the allocation and transfers of lottery funds in order to address a decline in the lottery forecast that has occurred since the 2001 session, finance debt service costs on lottery revenue bonds, and support the overall state budget reconciliation contained in Senate Bill 5701. Lottery resources are now forecast to be $35.6 million, or 3.1%, below the level forecast when the legislature balanced the lottery budget last session. Senate Bill 5702 rebalances lottery allocations to this new forecast level. The bill reduces lottery program allocations by $3,494,895 and uses the monies so saved, along with the lottery fund's ending balance, to finance debt service on lottery revenue bonds and support the reconciliation of the state budget. Almost $3 million of the program reductions represent a reduction in lottery support to the state school fund. In the budget reconciliation bill, however, general fund for the state school fund is increased to fully offset this reduction. Therefore, there is no reduction in school support as the result of this action. Including the allocations required by the state constitution and not addressed specifically in this bill, a total of $1.1 billion of lottery funds, a 0.7% reduction from the 2011 session level, are allocated to support expenditures in the state budget, county government expenses, and deposits into the Education Stability Fund. The bill also reduces allocations from the criminal fine and assessment account, criminal fine account, by $873,897. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends that Senate Bill 5702 be amended by the -3 amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Okay. Do we have a motion?
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, I move the -3 amendments to the bill.
Okay. The -3 amendments have been moved. Any discussion on the -3 amendments? Any objections to the -3 amendments? Seeing none, motion carries. Main motion?
Yes, I'd also move Senate Bill 5702 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Okay. Co-Chair Richardson has moved that SB 5702 as amended be moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Chair Devlin. I'd like a little more information on the reduction of the criminal fines and assessment account. This appears to be taking money directly from DPSST to give to the general fund. Over the past couple of biennia, we've had difficulty having enough training capacity at DPSST, and we've had local jurisdictions with their officers backed up to be trained. So I was wondering if we could get a little more information on what that is going on there.
Yes, please proceed.
It is correct that this is a reduction in the allocation to DPSST. It is part of the budget rebalance. And Mr. Wilson here, who is our LFO analyst for that agency, can have additional information on that.
Mr. Chair, co-chairs, and Senator Whitsitt, Doug Wilson, it is anticipated that this won't reduce their basic training capacity and that no classes for the basic law enforcement would be canceled as a result of these cuts.
Mr. Wilson, would there be any other classes? You said basic law enforcement training. If you're going to lose 3 range masters, it seems like you'd have to lose something.
Well, they will lose the capacity in the, they're losing staff. But as what they have told me is they do not anticipate any result in any loss of their classes, the number of classes. Please keep in mind that the demand for their classes has fallen this biennium as very few people are hiring at this time. So it may be something that's going to have to be addressed in the next biennium to make sure they keep that capacity.
Thank you, Mr. Wilson.
Any others? Senator Nelson.
Just going back to this 1 in 4 thing, Steve has indicated there's $1.1 billion of lottery funds, and so we're talking about a limitation on bonding of somewhat over $250 million. Is that somewhat correct? And how do you reconcile that with two paragraphs up above that you say lottery resources are now forecast to be $35.6 million? Could you kind of straighten me out and where all that money's going. Senator and members of the committee, in the materials that we distributed for this particular bill, you can find a chart here in the back which basically talks about or shows where the entire lottery budget is being allocated. If you approve Senate Bill 5702 as amended, there would be a total of $248,243,839 of lottery funds allocated for debt service. That is the amount that is required to pay the debt service on bonds that have already been issued. Any future bonds are not to be issued until the end of this biennium and will incur no debt service costs for 2011-13. This amount is slightly less than the 25% of the resources that are available, which is approximately $1,095,000,000. The treasurer, when the treasurer does determine lottery-backed debt capacity, he looks at a six-year period and not only at the current biennium. And for that reason, it is not always the case that for the current biennium, exactly 25% of lottery funds are used for debt service.
Follow-up? Yes, Senator Nelson.
When you pay off these all the obligations, you've got some constitutional things with fish and wildlife and education. How do you determine what you're paid in which order?
The bill that you have before you amends a section that was approved in 2011. This is Section 4 of the Dash 3 amendments. What these amendments provide is that if funds are insufficient to pay everything that is authorized in the lottery allocation bill, the amount for debt service is paid in full. All other allocations must then be reduced proportionally so that there is no shortfall in the amount that's distributed.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Sure. The only question I have is that in the last biennium we had a restructuring of some of the lottery debt that increased the capacity. Is that a possibility where the state treasurer might be restructuring debt to increase the duration of the payoff period in order to make more capacity?
That is a possibility that the state treasurer could continue to restructure lottery debt. I'm not aware of any plans to do that additionally at this time. You're right, there was some of that done a year ago, and I haven't heard of any additional opportunities to do that now.
Thank you.
Any additional discussion? Any objection to the motion before the committee? Seeing none, motion carries. On the House side for this?
Rep. Cowan is leaving us after this, so I thought maybe we should inflict one deal on her.
Well, that is interesting. I was not trying to inflict it upon her. Senator Verger, I would like to have carry this bill. It'll be the last bill she carries on the Senate floor unless we come into special session.
I thought Threats just had to say that.
Threats.
Okay. That work session has been closed. We will open a work session on SB 5701. LFO.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Again, Darren Hill, Legislative Fiscal Office. Senate Bill 5701, as amended, is the budget reconciliation bill that implements the co-chair's budget plan and provides for a rebalanced state budget for 2011-13 biennium. The bill also includes technical adjustments and actions approved by the Joint Interim Committee on Ways and Means. General fund reserves have declined since the 2011 session ended. In rebalancing the budget, a number of actions are being taken, including utilizing new revenues, redistributing existing revenues, and adjusting expenditures. After all adjustments, the general fund ending balance is projected to be at $115 million. Actions include, but are not limited to, in education, the state school fund is increased by $2.5 million related to the extension of the sunset on the small school district supplement fund for 1 year. Other major educational programs are funded at or near the 2011-13 legislatively adopted budget levels. In human services, over $100 million general fund and over $160 million in federal funds is added to the overall Department of Human Services budget. The funding will help address continued growth in the temporary assistance to needy families' caseloads and mitigate rate reductions for providers serving seniors and individuals with physical and developmental disabilities. Resources from caseload savings and one-time revenues are used in the Oregon Health Authority budget to partially mitigate program reductions. Funding for the Oregon Health Plan, alcohol and drug treatment programs, and community mental health services is maintained at current levels. In public safety, resources are being added to agency budgets or in special purpose appropriations to the emergency board to avoid significant reductions to major public safety agency budgets. This includes the Oregon State Police, Department of Corrections, Oregon Youth Authority, Oregon Judicial Department, and the Public Defense Services Commission. As a result, counties will not be able to opt out of community corrections program, and there will be no prisons closed or inmates released. In other programs, the budget plan includes a general purpose emergency fund of $27 million and special purpose appropriations of $60 million for certain purposes, including any necessary allotment reduction mitigation, foreclosure issues, and human service caseload increases, and $10 million for any necessary allotment reduction mitigation for select education programs. The Legislative Fiscal Office recommends Senate Bill 5701 be amended with the Dash 8 Amendment and reported out due pass as amended.
Do we have a motion? Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 8 amendments to the bill.
Okay. The Dash 8 amendments have been moved. Any discussion of the Dash 8 amendments? Any objection to the Dash 8 amendments? Seeing none, motion carries.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senate Bill 5701 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. SB 5701 as amended has been moved to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Yes. First, Senator Girard, then Senator Whitsitt, then Senator Dennis.
Thank you. I need something read into the record because the pony says that counties will not be able to opt out of community corrections program. Currently, there are two counties that have already opted out, Lynn and Douglas, and I want to make sure, doubly sure, that this bill in no way forces Lynn and Douglas County to be opted back in.
Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Chair, co-chairs, and members of the committee, they have had, I do not even know if the statute's contemplating be able to opting back in. Those two counties, even though they're state administered, are distributed funds just as any other county operated program is, and I don't believe there are any discussions on making those two counties pick up their program again.
Okay. Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 2 here we have on the emergency board SPAs, we have a reduction of 44%, $2.1 million in forest fire suppression costs. And then on page 4, page 7, under state forestry, we've added $2.2 million back to general fund. What's going on there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, this is a technical adjustment because currently the monies for fire protection are in a special purpose appropriation appropriated to the emergency boards, which is a separate fund. So what this bill does is it takes the money away from the emergency fund, puts it in the general fund, then gives it back to the Department of Forestry for the same purposes it was initially created. Mr. Chair, Senator, this is perfectly legal.
If I could just follow up for a second, thank you for that clarification. I guess my question is when you take it out of the SPA for fire suppression and you give it to the Department of Forestry, can they use it for any other purpose or does it have to be used for fire suppression?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, the direction in the budget report is that it would be used for the fire protection costs that they've already incurred. There is still another, I believe, $2 million remaining in the special purpose appropriation, about $2.6 million remaining in it that for the second fire year cost that they may incur.
I just hadn't seen that done in previous years.
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, you may see this more often now that we're in the regular annual session process because of the way the emergency fund is created, so it may occur in the future.
Thank you.
Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I just want to get a couple things on the record about the Human Services budget. I can argue this is the most complex budget we've got, and the most dangerous one to this rebalance if a few things were to change or a few things don't occur. I want to particularly thank Shirley Baker and Linda Ames for the work they've done with us on this, and my co-chair, Representative Freeman, Representative Cowan. I hope Representative Freeman's talking to me again. I hope that's the case. We'll find out later today. There's some issues here that I want to get in the record. These budgets are as big as any other budget out there and dwarf most of the budgets we have, with the exception of K-12. Slight changes in caseload in Human Services and TANF can be tens of millions of dollars change. Slight changes in caseload for the Urban Health Plan can do the same thing, and we can't predict those accurately as we'd like to. So we may be back here in 6 months or 3 months or 9 months looking at this again and trying to deal with it. In addition, in long-term care, the last 3 months of this biennium, there's a hole there yet, which we think we can fill by the time we get there, but that is a hole that will have to be dealt with at a later time. In the Oregon Health Authority, as we all know, if we don't get the resources from the federal government, we're hoping to get the $500 million roughly a year for the next 5 years, or if transformation doesn't produce the type of savings we need as quickly as we need, this is also going to be a difficult time because there could be substantial cuts to providers if those don't occur. So I want to make sure we're all completely aware of that. This is a good job, well done, but there are some real dangers in these two budgets, and they're significant and large dangers. We may be looking at this in next January, February. We may have to look at it before then.
Nelson and Senator Richards.
Yes, checking, he's showing an emergency fund of $27 million. How does that rate? Do we still have the reserve fund? And we ended the 2011 with about a $465 million reserve fund, didn't we? And I thought there was $40 or $50 million in emergency fund. Where are we keeping a reserve fund for this go-around? And what are those figures looking like?
Mr. Rocco, would you try to answer that and cover the ending balance in reserve funds and so not in the funds altogether?
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, after this plan is, if this bill passes as it is, the target amount for the ending general fund ending balance is about $115.3 million. In addition, there will be somewhere between around $45 to $55 million in the rainy day fund. The uncertainty is there's $45 there now. There's a reversions that state agencies from general fund monies that they did not spend in the 2009-11 biennium will, in the next forecast, will show up and be deposited into that. And we're thinking it's around $10 million, but just rough. There's about $10 million left in the Education Stability Fund. And then as far as the emergency fund goes, there will be a total of $27.2 million in the general purpose emergency fund. There are several special purpose appropriations, including $60 million for allotment mitigation needs if forecasts fall in the next three forecasts, for home foreclosure issues and for human services caseload issues. There's an additional $10 million set aside for allotment mitigation for education programs. And then there are a few remaining from before, as I mentioned, the $2.7 million left for forest fire protection, $2.9 million for the elderly rental assistance program in the Department of Revenue, $2 million for the Department of Justice for defense of criminal convictions, and TMSA lawsuit issues, $3.5 million for Public Defense Services Commission for trial-level public defense, and about $1.1 million for the Judicial Department for court operations. So the total in the emergency fund of all of those, special purpose and general purpose, is about $109.4 million.
Thank you, Steve. Senator Berger and then Co-Chair
yes,
Richardson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is about the general fund balance. What was the ending balance in June when we left in 2011?
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, I believe it was about $460 million, I believe. I'd have to check to get the exact number for you.
Thank you very much.
Any additional discussion? Co-Chair Richardson, I guess you're fine. Any objection to the motions before the committee? Motion. Seeing none, motion carries. Carriers in the House, Co-Chair Richardson.
Correct.
And in the Senate, I will carry. It's the last bill.
There's a request to answer. I think maybe the bill on the bill that she missed.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, why don't I do it now?
So you don't forget.
We have one more bill, but before we do that, I need unanimous consent so that we can allow Representative Thatcher to vote on the bill she missed. Maybe. And do you know which ones those are, Mr. Rocco?
I do.
Okay. Representative Thatcher, which bill?
Bills 1582 and 1581.
And how do you vote on 1582?
No.
1581?
No.
Thank you very much. Please note that for the record. We're now going to the final bill. Open the work session. SB 1579.
Mr. Chair, if it would be possible, if we could have about a 15-minute recess. The amendments to this bill we just received a few minutes ago while this meeting was in progress, and we would like to take 15 minutes to check those over one final time, if that's possible.
That's a wonderful idea. since this will be our final meeting. So what? Everybody be back in the room no later than 4 o'clock.
Thank you.
Sir.
be in recess for just a couple more minutes, but please stop.
I will reconvene the Joint Committee on Ways and Means for Monday, March 5th. Colleagues, we have one item left on the agenda. Can we have a briefing? Ms. Brown?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate Bill 1579.
I opened a work session, by the way, so Ms. Brown.
This measure is the companion to the bill that you just passed, Senate Bill 5701, but this implements the statutory provisions necessary to implement that bill. So there is a set of Dash 23 amendments before you. It is quite lengthy, so I'll hit some of the highlights for you. You did receive a draft fiscal statement earlier in the day that covers section by section what it does. The key elements of this bill, it extends the sunset provision for the small school fund until June 30, 2013. It makes the necessary changes to the temporary assistance to needy families program that is effective in your budget assumptions. Permits the judicial and legislative departments to retain unexpended general fund balances. Establishes an operating fund for the governor's offices, transfers other fund balances from 11 accounts and subaccounts to the general fund to provide $102.4 million to help balance your 1113 budget. It ratifies fees for the Oregon Health Authority, Oregon Health Licensing Office, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Each of those were reviewed in subcommittee and forwarded to you. Modifies the Oregon Local Disaster Assistance Loan Program to include grants. Requires municipal and justice courts to report caseload and financial information to the legislative fiscal office. And it also resolves conflicts with bills passed earlier in session, House Bill 5082 and House Bill 4163. The legislative fiscal office recommends Senate Bill 1579 be amended by the Dash 23 amendment and reported out to be passed as amended.
Yes, Mr. Co-Chair, I move the Dash 23 amendments to Senate Bill 1579.
Yeah. Okay. Regarding the Dash 23 amendments that have been moved, any discussion?
Mr. Chair, do we have the Dash 23 amendments?
Yes. Can you please explain?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, they were just put on the SharePoint site.
So if you don't have a...
We don't have them.
I just got mine. Just jumped in here.
You need hard copies. We'll have to get them. They're like 74 pages.
Let's vote on the amendment.
Okay. Any additional licensing discussion? Would you like to? Yes, Senator Girard.
I don't have anything here. So the health licensing board fee increases, they went from what to what? Because that was kind of a contentious issue.
1 minute,
we'll
look it up.
Mr. Chair and Senator Girard, these were the ones reviewed in the education subcommittee, and it was as it came out of subcommittee.
That's right. So, midwifery, they wanted 18, we gave them 12.
Yeah, okay. I see it here, that's fine.
Any additional discussion of the Dash 23s? Any objections? Yes, Senator.
Just looking through these quickly, the parts that pertain to my part of the budget look like these are the things we agreed upon well in advance. I don't see any unusual here. Is that true of most of these?
Agreed. I would think that the program changes would reflect exactly the changes that were made within the budget bill. I don't think that there's any surprises in there.
And the only thing I see missing is the $5 million SBA for Doc Bates. I just don't see it here.
That was the primary care physicians.
Oh, yes, certain, yes, I see. Yes, thank you. Yeah.
That first thing, Senator.
Yes. Senator Verger, or Senator Winters, you always, I mistake both of you. Senator Winters.
Don't get me started. Just want to make certain that we do have coverage for the senior group on this panel.
How many people are
That was here with McKay.
Oh, okay. Notice I didn't take the bait. Any additional discussion?
Amendments? Do you want to pass the amendments?
Okay, but I'm just trying to see any additional discussion on the amendments.
Okay.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Colleagues, this probably isn't the appropriate time or place, but I'm struggling to get into the amendments.
and I've got it right here, and I'm struggling to find them. And I just want to share with you, I just think the quality of discourse and the quality of evaluation has gone down significantly since we've moved to a paperless system. If we were in a rules committee, if we were looking at policy bills, I get that. But this is a budget committee. At some point in time, I think we really, as a committee in our entirety, need to investigate whether or not we're doing the job of the citizens of Oregon when we can't touch the pieces of paper and look at those amendments that are coming before us. So, thank you.
Any additional comments? Yes, Senator Monroe.
Yeah, and he's a generation younger than I am.
Maybe two.
Objections to the dash 23. Senator Virgin.
Mr. Chair, I just wonder if it wouldn't just be just for the record that they might not just give us a one-line summary of the 23 amendments. I mean, it would be just kind of nice since we don't have anything in front of us. It's not going to take that long.
Mr. Chair, Senator Berger, what Ms. Brown put into the record a few minutes ago is a brief summary of the bill. You also, we sent out earlier this afternoon a section-by-section analysis of everything in the bill that was sent out to your offices, I think, by about 2:30 this afternoon.
Okay. Ms. Brown, could you clarify that?
Is this the draft that we
draft
have
on it?
Yes. At that time, it said, Mr. Chair, Representative Buckley, it said draft because we didn't have the final amendment yet.
Okay.
That's the amendment we just got, and tried to get it out to people as quickly as we could.
Representative Smith.
Thank you. And Mr. Kocher, I want to be really clear. My comments are in no way directed at our staff. I think they do an A-plus job. I think it's a discussion for this committee in the future. Thank you.
Okay. Any objections to the dash 23s? Seeing none, motion carries. Do we have a main motion?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I would move Senate Bill 1579 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay. SB 1575 has been moved to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Any additional discussion?
Just a
yes, Senator Whitsitt, then Senator Nelson.
Co-chair on item page 4 of 5, Department of Administrative Services, $13.3 million transfer to the general fund of the risk insurance risk money. And the quote here is, this transfer does increase the program's unfunded liability, as liabilities are currently estimated to be $127 million, which would seem to be a $26 million underfunded liability. You know, could we have a little discussion on why that's good policy, or is the $127 million really not needed, or what?
Human Services. Mr. Rocco, you can comment on what was done. If they want to know policy, I can comment, or the other co-chairs can comment.
Risk management.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, this is a fund that in times of budget issues we look at occasionally. What will happen primarily is that there will be a decision most likely to increase assessments, to increase the amount in this fund over the next biennium or two, to raise it back up to the level of actuarially sound.
Just a comment. We seem to be playing another shell game here, in that we're using money today that we're going to assess the agencies tomorrow, which will come from our general fund in the next biennium. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, that's generally correct. It will. The assessments are applied to all fund types, so it'll be, or other funds and general funds, so it'll be agencies with all different kinds of funds will be assessed most likely at a higher rate.
Thank you.
Senator Girard.
There's been some talk that the Vernonia School ended up in this. Is that correct or not?
Mr. Chair, Senator Girard, I think it's in... It's not directly in here. There was a change made in Section 98 to change a fund, disaster assistance fund within the military department. So this fund has been recreated to be the Oregon Local Disaster Assistance Loan Account. That's what it used to be. Now it's the Loan and Grant Account, and it's there to provide for non-matching grants or loans to local governments and school districts under federally declared emergencies under certain conditions. So that is included in this program change.
Yeah, if I might comment in addition, though, to some of the general comments. It's true that we originally took a little bit more than $7 million from risk management much earlier in this process. It actually, I could say at that time, it probably went more to fund DD programs. A portion of what we've taken now goes to fund the state police. But what we have done also is tried to keep the ending fund balance as high as we could keep it, and to keep as much money in reserves in the e-board as we could keep it, because we are literally not out of the fire. And we are trying to make sure that there's both enough money in the ending balance so that as we get forecasts in, that if we go out of balance, hopefully it's late compared to when we come back into session. And if we do go out of balance, that we do have enough in our reserves in the e-board to deal with some of the most critical cuts that might occur through an allotment process. So if we had taken from ending balance as opposed to taking from risk management, we would have just had a lower ending fund balance and potentially have had to make allotment cuts earlier. So while there are not a lot of great decisions in this budget, but they are the decisions that were necessary to keep most services in place. I'm not going to write Mother Home Kent. She's been dead for a long time. But we did what we thought was necessary, and a lot of that was done with discussions between the co-chairs and subcommittee chairs and with, obviously, LFO and others. So I just wanted to comment on that. Senator Verger.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I want to just express to you and to the other co-chairs, I think you've done an excellent job on this budget. It is far better budget than I would have anticipated that we could have had with the kind of revenue shortage that we have. And my apologies to Mr. Rocco. I did receive the draft form this afternoon, and I did read it. I, for whatever reason, was a little confused thinking that there was something new in the 23 amendment. So thank you very much.
Any additional discussion?
Mr. Chair, just a,
yes.
Just a quick question on the Municipal Court, Justice Court thing. I know there were some issues about building and some flexibility under that amendment. Was that done so that they had some... the counties could potentially...
Good afternoon, Co-Chairs. John Borden with the Legislative Fiscal Office. Members of the committee and Senator Nelson, there is now included in this bill a reporting requirement for local municipal and justice courts. They will report through the Association of Oregon Counties and League of Oregon Cities on some criteria that's developed in conjunction with the Legislative Fiscal Office.
May I speak to
you?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I might just make it public, you know, just discuss and with the committee that the co-chairs have been very concerned about how to implement the changes in some of the procedures on how fines and tickets are used and dealt with at a local court level, justice court, county courts. And so last year, as you will recall, we lowered the cost of the kind of the base amount for what tickets are, and we gave judges 50% discretion, because before then what we were finding is that many times police officers would not issue the ticket, or the judges might just dismiss the whole case because it was kind of an all or nothing thing and the amount was so high. This gave judges the capacity, the ability to do what judges do, and that's listen to the facts in a case and make a determination as to what a fair amount is for an assessment of a fine. Before now, we have had the situation where the amounts of the funds that and fines that were collected at a justice court level have been basically just under the control of the counties, and they've gone to various different places. So part of that whole reform was to have these roughly six pools that used to get money from justice court funds. It now goes to the state, and then the state sends back to the counties $15 for each fine, and it was designed to be revenue neutral. The new procedures, as far as the discretion of the court and the new fine amounts, went into law as of January 1st. And so it's March, and so we don't have any data as to what the income consequence is going to be, because we want to make sure that we don't harm the counties, even though there is going to be greater accountability. The requirement, of course, in knowing if we're going to hurt the counties, is that they have to give us data. And so we've asked specifically, and the budget note reflects that the data that is to be collected is to be coordinated with the county courts, so that we're not causing them to have to collect data that they don't normally have anyway. And then it requires that every 2 years we're going to have an update on this data. We want to be very careful about that, because it's so easy to say, well, just come in every year. Well, what's the burden that we place on the court to gather data, and you know, and what's the cost of that? And so by doing it every 2 years, we feel that we can keep an eye on the revenue sharing to make sure that we're not hurting the counties, and then also not make it so frequent that it becomes a burden. And so that's the whole basis for this. And we have promised that if the first amount of data comes in early, we'd love to look at this in May or September of this year, just to get a trend to see what's happening with the revenue to the counties, because we need to watch out for what we do and how it affects them.
Thank you. Any additional discussion? Yes. Senator Whitsitt?
On item number 34, I'm just not familiar with this, and I probably should be, but we're transferring funds from the Supplemental Employment Department Administration Fund to the General Fund for General Government Purposes, $9 million. Where did...
Let's see, who do we call up for this?
Mr. Rockwood.
Michelle.
Yes. Co-chair, Senator Whitsitt, the Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund is a surcharge on employer unemployment insurance taxes that they pay that help support the department operations. And the employment department reported that they were getting additional dollars in federal reimbursement funding for their operations, and therefore they anticipated that they would not need to use about $9 million in federal READ Act distributions. And so instead wanted to replace other fund expenditures with federal fund expenditures. Well, the program change bill basically takes $9 million in Supplemental Employment Department Administrative Fund dollars, which are basically interchangeable with READ Act, so that they would turn around and probably backfill those CDAP dollars with READ Act funding expenditures.
I wish I understood what you said.
I am more than happy to answer additional questions.
Okay. Co-Chair Richardson, thank you. I'd like to remind us all that we had a $201 million hole that we had to fill. And so there were certain places where there was money that we could reappropriate in a way that did not necessarily harm programs or harm individuals or deal with violations of concerns that we would have on the source of the money. And so this is one of them that did not interfere with the way programs functioned, but we needed the money, and so we reappropriated it. Coming up with $200 million in this kind of a financial situation that we are in was not an easy thing to do, and so we may have made mistakes. We just hope you'll give us grace and forgiveness. but if you have pet areas, they may have been cut or harmed, but it wasn't intentional.
Yes.
Maybe a paraphrase might be, it's like old Mother Hubbard who went to the cupboard and she found the bone and she tried to turn it into soup. We were looking everywhere. I mean, honestly, I think the co-chairs and I wanted to add on to what the good senator from the coast said. I think that the co-chairs did a very admirable job, and I can't say that without saying that our staff did a yeoman's job, because we all depend and rely on staff and the work that the staff does. So I think it's to say that it's one thing giving the kudos to these three individuals, but I think it's another for our staff to know how much we appreciate all the hard work that you do.
Representative Lee. Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I certainly echo all those nice words, and I apologize for being perhaps a bit late on this. I've learned quite a bit more about bonding this session and working with Treasury, and just one note that I wanted to put on the record after conversation with them. In Section 3, it talks about scheduled bonds, and my understanding is that the definition of scheduled is really when a preliminary official statement is issued as opposed to a more informal proposed date, since that changes all the time. And I want to make sure that was clear. Thanks, Mr. Chair.
Any additional comments? Any objections to the motion before the committee? Please note Senator Girard, Senator Whitsitt, Senator Thompson. Any from the House? Seeing none, motion carries. Before we leave, there's just a couple of housekeeping items. One,
and that's carriers.
Oh, and the last bill will be Representative Buckley, and I will carry in the Senate. One and most important, actually, it's already been said. The late Senator Hatfield always said he was never any better than his staff, and his staff made him look great. No statement could be truer for any of us that actually work in ways and means than the staff we have in legislative fiscal. If you'd like to look at what years and years of work does to this, I believe Mr. Rocco has a picture of him at an early age. And he looks far more distinguished now. I think all the co-chairs and all the members here would like to thank the LFO staff for their hard work. And is there anything else that we would like to do at this point that I have to...
We will go into recess just in case.
Will be in recess just in case there's a conflict in something that we have done or one of the policy bills that we have.
Thanks to the members of this committee for your patience and your work, and the subcommittee co-chairs for your efforts to balance this budget.
With that, we're recessed.